Well, here we are. It's the Tape Trader's Guide to 90s Pro Wrestling, and I'm Kevin Martin. I'm the current MC of this car ride. We're going out to WrestleCade in North Carolina.
And, you know, this is the very first time Braxton's ever been on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh,
say hello, Braxton.
How's it going, everyone?
Oh, here we go. We got Braxton in the back seat with us.
Employee of the month every month.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about this month. He was a little late to work today.
Yeah, don't put that on my resume.
But we're going out to WrestleCade. Over 125 wrestling stars out there. We got Daphne and Kier Hogan out there. But Fire and Ice, as you'd like to call it.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about all these wrestling memories that we've had.
I know,
over the
we've
years.
we've been just, it's like story after story after story after story, and no one's hit record on the fucking the gimmick, and what? So.
Oh, so we're probably running out of stories already. So,
there's nothing left to talk about. We've talked about everything.
Everything in the past few weeks that's happened and transpired in pro wrestling. Might as well just forget about it.
So, but there's been a lot of things that we've done, Kevin, since the last time that me and you have recorded.
You're
you
right.
Know, Overdrive, we've done another Overdrive show. We did the Revive show in McMinnville. The Bar, which was a really good show. Run down that show, because that was a good show.
Yeah, they were bringing a revival to McMinnville, Tennessee. Headlined by Sami Callihan and Fred Yehi, which I think was the match of
incredible, night. Incredible match.
Incredible match. Definitely the match that I think was close to 5 stars, if not 5 stars. I'm giving that Meltzer rating right there. And then, you know, you got a bunch of other stars. James Storm, Jillian Hall was doing a meet and greet. OVE was out there.
Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
One of our favorite WWF wrestler from the 90s. And he was out there doing a good old meet and greet with his great, great fans in McMinnville. But, man, dude, that was an awesome show. I mean, it was in the middle of McMinnville Civil Warfare.
Yeah. There was, how far, there? So there's two shows.
Yes, there's two
taking
shows.
Taking place at the exact same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, how far away was the other show, Kevin?
Yes, so Braxton doesn't know about this, but there were two shows happening at the same time. Literally a 3-minute drive from each other. One was up the street, one was down the street. One was at an elementary school, one was at the Civic Center.
And you had, the one that we were at the Revive, you had James Storm, Fred Yeha, Sami Callihan, OVE.
Yeah,
Simon
Graham. Yep.
Yeah. And then at the other show, you had Chase Stevens, Marty Jannetty.
Crazy Steve. Jeremiah Plunkett.
Yeah, yeah.
All kinds.
Who ran the other show?
That was run by Tennessee All Pro Wrestling.
Tap.
Yes, Tap.
And Kevin is actually the general manager for Tap.
Oh, is it?
No. I am the, so my role is commissioner.
Commissioner of Tap.
Yes. I appear live more than Jack Tunney does, just about as much.
So while Kevin is over here and he's running the backstage at the Revive show, while at the same time being the commissioner to the rival promotion that was rivaling Revive.
How does that?
All right. Well, you see,
and then I get him some heat because
wait, you got any heat?
I think it was me. Because I'm the one that told, someone had asked about, it was Scott Hensley.
And said,
hey man, the show, you know, the timing on everything was perfect. And each match, you know, was smooth and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, that's all Kevin Martin. Because you ran the backstage.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden someone contacts you from Tap saying, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You were at fucking Revive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, of course, you know, I have a good loyalty to those people over at Tap. And, you know, they've always been treating me well. But I didn't really tell them that I was over at the other promotion that night. I originally had other plans, but Justin ended up booking me for that night. WrestleTopia TV. We were shooting the show. And I ended up running the locker room. I'd say running the locker room, helping keep everything on time and things like that. And everything went smoothly. You know, we started at 7 o'clock, and we were out of there by 9:30. Like, the show was over at 9:30. Justin was never more happy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank Jesus.
And then as we were packing up and leaving, I said, the other show's still going on. You know that, right? And he's like, no. I'm like, yeah, they're still going on. So he's like, nah, they're probably over. So we drive by the school. Well, we don't see any cars.
Yeah.
Well, the cars apparently were on another side of the building.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We went to Applebee's to go say hello to James Storm and everything and do our rounds.
Hurricane and Simon Gribb.
Yeah, say hello to everybody. And yeah, then
and we wanted to get out of Applebee's before Chase made it there.
Oh.
So that we didn't get caught up in the Chase Stevens.
Well, we've already got another story right
two
there.
Two for one.
We already got another story right there. We got an OT's special.
Yeah.
So, but we were over there at Applebee's. We see some fans that we know went to the other show. So, how was that show? Oh, they're still going on.
Yeah.
What?
So if you think about it, I think the saddest part about the whole thing is the Revive show was really good. It was a really good show from top to bottom, and they drew. Right. You know, both shows drew really well. They right. both had 400 people at each show.
Yeah.
So here's 800 wrestling fans that could have gone to either show if they were 1 week apart.
Yeah.
Instead of battling.
Or maybe even doing a show together.
Whatever it is, there's 800 people that wanted to watch good wrestling, and they had to choose.
Yeah, I don't think you do that.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, there's a bunch of, you know, bashing. You know, and I'm not the biggest fan of wrestling politics and anything like that. And, you know, it's all around us. You know, you can't hide it. You can't stop it. But, you know, it's a wrestling warfare in a city that could have drawn an 800 people crowd, just about as much as what Crossfire did at that time.
Yeah, which is what, Crossfire went to McMinnville in 2012 and had about 800 people in the building.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, easily could have been 800 people or more, you know, but people get turned off by wrestling politics. What's your opinion on wrestling politics, Justin? Like, what do you think?
I mean, you know, it's any kind of business you're in, there's always going to be people. Like, I mean, honestly, I believe I can do wrestling better than anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, because in my head, everything I think about, it all makes sense in my head. But there has to be a point where the first thing that comes, you know, is making money.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many people out there that are so fucking consumed with being better or proving a point or just, I don't know, there's people out there that are just active and like, for no, they lose money to try and hurt someone else, and none of that shit makes sense to me. At the end of the day, man, let's make money. I love wrestling.
Yeah.
And in order for me to continue to be a part of wrestling, I have to be able to pay my bills.
Right.
So wrestling isn't like a joke to me. It's not like, oh, let me just, I make $800 at McDonald's every month, and so let me take $810 and have a wrestling show. Like, it's got to be more serious than that. And when you can see something like Revive put their show on first.
Yeah.
And they promoted their show, they announced their show, and so in my opinion, bad form on tap for booking a show 3 miles down the road against them, because that's
absolutely
not right.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, great loyalty to tap because they've always done well by me, but that was definitely not my most favorite move that they've ever done. I mean, just to try and get back at somebody, you know. And that's just at any other promotion too, you know, calling buildings, trying to get people to take out the show, you know. All kinds of shit. Like, it's not 1987.
Everyone should try and draw the best they can and worry about their own shit, not anyone else's.
Yeah, it's like you're not fighting over territories anymore. Wrestling is all around us. The consumer is benefiting from the saturation of wrestling in every market because wrestling is growing and growing and growing. Someone's bound to run your territory, guys.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
and like, no one's gonna call you first.
Yeah,
you know,
like freaking how many shows have been in the fairgrounds for the past year, like just this year alone, you know.
And so I think that's a good point. I mean, think about the fairgrounds. At one time, it was a Nick Gulas territory. Then it changed over to Jerry Jarrett, and no one else drew there. No one else ran there.
Yeah.
Then, you know, in the later days in the 90s, you had Burt Prentice, and Burt Prentice pretty much had a stranglehold on the fairgrounds for years and years and years and years and years. Then Crossfire comes along.
Yeah.
Crossfire is the only one that's running there. But over the last 3 years, there's been what, you know, 7, 8. Different companies that have gone in and ran that building?
Yeah.
Because it's no one's building.
Yeah.
Nobody owns it, you know? And so, why are we still having the wrestling promoters have this mentality that, like, oh, well, I run in Nashville, Tennessee, so anyone else that comes into Nashville has to ask my permission first, and if they don't, then I'm going to try and hurt them and hurt... Why?
Yeah.
I think even if you do own a building in Nashville, no one's going to call you up and be like, hey, can you mind if I run at the fairgrounds?
Right.
I mean, it's just not...
And the better that, you know, Promotion X does, the better product that they put on, and the more fans that come and enjoy that product, you know, Promotion Y has the ability to have newer fans and more fans. And like, we should all just be worrying about promoting and doing a good show. Right, and that's really what it should be about. Make fucking money.
Yeah, making fucking money. Making fucking money.
Which is what we're trying to do on our drive right now to fucking WrestleGate.
By the way, you can always support WrestleToby TV. You know, WrestleTobyTV.pivotshare.com. Help us make more money. And if you don't want to give us any money and you want to just try us out first, you can also listen to our podcast as you are right now.
Or if you are a member of High Spots Network.
Yes.
You can see all WrestleToby TV on High Spots Network.
Yes, absolutely. So then you can just subscribe to us.
So, Braxton, since this is your first time on the podcast, kind of run down your history. Let's talk about how we first met.
So I'm you know, wanting to get more into to indie wrestling. So I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see an ad of sorts, or a post by Leah, the
bail bonds lady,
the bond girl.
Yes. Rumpy's Bell Bonds, and she's got this post. She said, "Hey, I'm looking for people to help run this wrestling show." Now, me growing up, huge wrestling fan, I'm in college. I'm like, yeah, you know, let me just, you know, shoot her a message and see. You know, the post was a little bit older. I wasn't, you know, just the first one to comment or anything like that. But I was like, I'll just give it a shot. So I sent her a message, and a couple days later, I'm at the movie theater. And I get a call, don't recognize the number, go answer the phone, it's Leah. She's like, hey, we got our first show, you know, and you know, she's just kind of giving me a very concise rundown of what's going to be happening up in Murfreesboro. And so I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just like, yeah, let's do it. So it was a couple weeks away, I guess, and, you know, the night came, so I believe it was Thursday, that first tour was Saturday.
Yeah.
And so I show up Thursday night, and this is at MTSU's
Murphy Center.
Yeah, at the Murphy Center.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just, you know, I have no idea. I know no one there. Yeah. I have no idea what's going on. I'm just walking through like the back. I see. I think Graham and like somebody else and, like, yeah, rehearsing.
And Murphy Center is real big. Like, it's Graham, huge. Anyone who doesn't know Murphy Center, it's about 10,000 seat arena.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, MT, I mean, the basketball team plays here, and the basketball team's been outstanding these past couple of years.
Oh, okay. Way to put over the school, buddy.
But so anyway, I finally get, you know, find my way onto the floor. I meet Leah for the first time, and she introduced me to Cindy, and I get this security shirt, and, you know, it's just kind of like I'm there, and I'm, you know, I'm plugged in, I'm ready, you know. I don't know anyone, but I just kind of listen to instructions. And, you know, the night goes well. I think I was just in charge of, like, seating or something, you know, just doing a little security work. And then, unfortunately, the night had to come to an end, and you know, I was there and I was seeing everything, but I was not realizing the work.
Scope.
Yeah, the scope of it all, and how this was a 10,000 person arena, and, you know, the whole floor was pretty much filled. It wasn't just a ring, you know, it was a ring and a stage. And, you know, this is.
There was a lion.
Yeah,
there's a throne.
There was two thrones.
Two thrones.
The stage was set for modern day gladiators.
Yes.
To war. And until, you know, the night came to an end, the show came to an end, and you know, lights were turned on, and then at that point it just kind of,
that was so horrible. That was such a horrible horrible night.
What was loadout that bad?
Was for me at least.
There's a loading dock and everything for that purpose though, ain't it?
But there was just so much
stuff
and no one had ever put it away before.
So we're all learning how to
wait. So you guys never actually loaded the truck.
Like, no. I said, like, this was my first time meeting anyone. I didn't know what the heck was going on, and I wasn't a part of the
load out.
The build.
Yeah, the build.
Yeah.
This is my first time seeing any. I had no idea where anything went. Everything maybe had a box, maybe it didn't. Maybe we're just carrying these plastic pillars to a box.
Those aren't plastic pillars. Those are stone. Carved from stone.
But the thing is we're Leah owned all the chairs.
Yeah.
She owned all the lighting rigs. She owned everything.
There was nothing that we could just leave to you know, the people, they were, you know, they were cleaning up the seats, you know, the actual.
And so they're figuring out how to load the trucks as we're bringing stuff out. So
and
we're,
the show might have got over at, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock. So that's when that's when it all
when begins. We started doing this.
Yes. So, I mean, and yeah, so, you know, and I believe Justin and I met that night. We were just, I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, we were just lifting this heavy stuff, moving this, pushing this. And, you know, we're just kind of cracking jokes of how miserable it all is.
And the thing is, Bandana hadn't joined the group yet.
Oh.
So it was me and Braxton. And the reason why me and Braxton, I think, started getting along was because the two of us were physically able to do shit. Does that make sense?
What?
We are physically, I mean, neither one of us are Superman, you know?
No, yeah.
But we are physically healthy.
Yeah.
We were there with, like, Kenneth.
Oh.
And Kenneth had this friend who I don't want to, you know, and I'm not, and I am not trying to disrespect anybody, but I'm just saying, like, the other people that were there were not physically able.
Yeah, they had not built I mean, because, like you said, like, Leah had never met me. She didn't really know what she was getting with me. I had just sent her a message on Facebook, so if that kind of gives you an idea.
She hired people she didn't know who the fuck
and,
we were.
Yeah, and people were just kind of getting this job. And I mean, Justin, I believe that night you, there was that one dude, I cannot remember his name, but he was like, hey, I want this thing, from your table that you had set up. And he was like, yeah, I'll pay you back for it.
Oh, yeah, that was the fucking, there was this one jabroni.
Wild man or something?
The wild man, yeah. This fucking dude who, like, just wanted to, like, walk around and hang out, didn't want to help. They actually asked him to leave, didn't they?
They did, and this was after he had just absolutely begged Chase to powerbomb him.
What?
And, yeah, and I'm telling you, I think, I mean, just Chase almost put him through that ring. Like,
what? Someone asked Chase to powerbomb.
Yes, and I mean, yeah, it was.
I mean, I know our JD Sloan here and Johnny Bandana had the best AWA tag team match ever. Yeah. But you know,
yeah, it was just kind of not very organized, and it was they just didn't really know who was there.
So how long did
we finished up around 4:30 a.m.
What?
Yeah. And the thing about it was is that we all, I can't remember the location of the next show, but like we said, it was a 3-day tour, so you know, we got somewhere. I want to say maybe. I know Springfield was on the tour a lot. I don't remember.
It might have been Springfield. It might have been Murfreesboro to Springfield, which was, it's what, an hour and a half?
About an hour and a half, yeah.
About an hour and a half.
I know. I went home to Nashville that night.
Yeah.
Woke up at, you know, 7 o'clock.
Because we had to be back there.
To put it all back up
at
the new venue.
Oh. Yeah. You guys.
Now, remember, Springfield was next because, remember, it took us like an hour to load out. Because Springfield was so small.
Yeah, and there was those mass. I don't know. It was a garage door right there.
Yes.
Compared to there was
having
the
to
ramp.
Push everything up that ramp in MTSU, which pushing up, you know, 10,000 pounds worth of fucking chairs up that ramp was horrible. That was terrible.
I remember it was the stuff, you know, getting it up the ramp was miserable, but then getting it on the truck, and I mean, just it was just all.
Just everything about it was horrible.
You know, I remember, you know, we got that first truck loaded, and I saw it pull off. I'm like, all right, boom. And then they just back another one up, completely empty. And I'm like, golly.
And then we were in Fairview. We did, yes, that's right. Yeah, we did Murfreesboro, we did Springfield, and then we did Fairview.
And this is the school that you guys got kicked out of, right?
That's the school we got kicked out of because Wolfie D hung, Derek King hung Wolfie D while wearing a Confederate flag. So you got a black guy in a Confederate flag outfit hanging a white dude from the lynching a white guy. But you know what? It was fucking awesome. Look, dude, everyone in this car knows my political stance.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I am not yet, even though I am very much left-handed.
Yeah,
I am not one that gets offended real easy, and in the context of entertainment, I'm even less offended. Than normal.
Yeah.
And I will say that the fucking crowd was hot for that lynching. I mean, they were. Derek King turned heel.
Yeah.
With Tracy Smothers.
Okay.
Came out in this fucking awesome.
That should show unity enough right there.
That he comes out in this awesome Confederate flag outfit. Yeah. Like his knee pads were Confederate flags. And you know, Derek's very dark black. You know?
Thanks.
And his hair wasn't blonde. His hair was already, you know, he'd already washed out the dye. So he looked great, And dude, when he was hanging Wolfie, I mean, the crowd, it was like that 1980s.
Back when nobody cared about that stuff.
Where people were just, they were just hot.
Yeah.
They were just hot. They were hot at Tracy Smothers. Yeah. And they were hot at Derek King. And they wanted someone to come and save Wolfie. And it was great. But the school was not happy. They were not happy about that shit. And that was the first night that me and Braxton, just, remember?
Yeah,
hung out with me at the dinner table the whole night.
Yeah,
the whole night. Yeah, that was his job that night.
It was very good wrestling.
It was.
You know, the guys. It was cool to be around. You know, all the boys and stuff. And there was a lot of talent there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I remember
Houston.
Yeah, yeah. Houston, and he had Moonshine.
Yeah.
Who you convinced me was somebody else every time I saw him. And then, I mean, I'm a big Daniel Eads fan. He was there in that first show, Bram, like I said. And then you had Billy Gunn. You had Road Warrior Animal.
I've got so many Bram stories.
Do you?
I have one.
Well, let's finish up with AWA right here, because you're right, because that first tour was really good.
Very good.
We drew really well everywhere we went. The matches were really good. But then it just kind of went downhill.
Like that one tour was great, and then
nothing really changed.
That's, I mean, everybody was getting the same, kind of the same stuff. I mean, there were, you know, a few, you know, guys, you know,
here and there
different. But it wasn't enough difference, wasn't enough excitement.
Shane and Francisco wrestled each other 12 times.
Right.
13 times.
They did. I mean, and then, you know, you had your tag team finish, you know, your tag team match at the end.
Which seemed to also, that was another thing of the, like every tour.
Yeah.
It was a tag team.
It was a tag team match at the main event every time. I just don't think there was enough difference, enough excitement.
And then you had Leah's tits all over the poster. The poster looked like a burlesque show. It didn't look like a wrestling event. You know, it looked like a 18-plus fucking Chippendale.
It looked like something you'd see at play.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was a wrestling show that you bring your kids to.
Yeah.
And you bring your family to, and you guys have a good time. It looked like something different.
Right. Right.
But since then, Braxton has been, you know, part of WrestleTopia ever since then.
Absolutely.
And we got a message from our resident journeyman.
Oh, Francisco. Yeah. What did Francisco say?
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to reveal this, but he was talking about a potential shoot interview.
With what company? It better not be Pedo.
Oh, I don't know. He was saying, hey, what would you think about doing a WrestleTopia shoot interview?
And did you tell him we're ready and willing?
I did not, because I don't know your password.
Mike's lying.
Well, we are going to take care of that. He knows I'm fucking traveling to WrestleKid. You see, Frankie wants to be the only person, the top priority.
Hold on now. This man is the same man that I've been on the road with. And this man is on the phone the entire trip. Like, whether it's posting about himself, whether it's messaging about himself, or whether it's just talking about himself in the car, you know, he's definitely all about himself on these trips. So, whether we're on a trip or not, we're still working for our resident journeyman.
Journeyman is, so tell us your Bram story, Kevin.
So, it's not my story, but it's a story that I was told.
Hold the microphone. Look at Braxton. Braxton's trying to relax a little bit on this drive. You're supposed to be emceeing everything.
Well, I gave him the mic so he could talk. Anyways, so we're on the road for, I think it was Bram's first or second TNT show.
Uh-huh.
And I was told that Bram had a lovely night at the pre-show party. So they have the pre-show party and everything. TNT takes care of their wrestlers. They have a hotel reserved for them and everything. Crimson goes trying to look for Bram.
Uh-huh.
Bram is nowhere to be found. Well, after about an hour of searching for Bram, they go back to where Bram would be staying at, around his room or whatever. And so they see Bram walking down the hallway, bare naked. Bare naked. Looking for his clothes. And you know where his clothes were?
Huh.
Justin, I want you to guess where his clothes were.
On a roof.
No, no, no. They were in his room. So he left the room naked.
So he had a really, really good night.
Yeah, apparently so.
At the pre-show.
Yes. And Graham, I hope he comes back to the U.S. soon. He's in the U.K. right now. Yeah. And he's probably going to be there for a really long time nobody will book him out here. But I hope to see him soon. He's a really nice guy. He's fun to party with, fun to hang around. Really just nice guy in general.
Yeah.
Cool wrestler.
So, we got WrestleCade. We're on our way. It's Friday, if you're listening to this. I don't know when the fuck you're going to listen. I don't know when I'm going to upload it, so I don't know when people are going to listen to
we
it.
We might do a compilation.
I'm sure we're going to record quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's Friday. We're on our way to WrestleCade. Tomorrow is the Fan Fest, and then Sunday we'll be driving back. So what do we have coming up after? Because every weekend there's something.
Yeah, and like Justin, you only have one free weekend in the month of December.
One free Saturday.
Yeah, yes.
One free Saturday.
So we're looking at the calendar right now.
Next week,
Marty
Jannetty?
Yes, we have Marty Jannetty live at the New South Arena in Franklin, Kentucky. Oh, boy. Oh, it's going to be and rocking all night long.
Marty is also doing
an informational seminar.
Explain what an informational.
Well, you see, due to the rules of the Kentucky Boxing and Wrestling Commission, he cannot do anything physical in the ring. So,
but he can direct them.
Yes, he can direct them through an informational seminar. So he's going to be giving a lot of information out to these people.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And if you're interested in said seminar, it is open to VIPs.
Ooh.
If you're interested in paying to see Marty Jannetty direct a seminar and see how that all works, because, you know, intricacy
yes.
in putting together professional wrestling entertainment. So if you want to see what that's like and how you can see the stars of tomorrow become even better learning from a guy like Marty Jannetty, it's only $30.
Ooh, honestly, that is not a bad price.
And then you might get to learn something too.
Yeah.
But yes. So
I know Jannetty teaches good stuff.
Yes. So if you do want to see that, we got a big doubleheader weekend with New South Championship Wrestling. We got a big show that Friday night. It's the Fall Brawl. We got Marty Jannetty out there rocking all night long. We're going to see the New South Heavyweight Champion, the Natural Chase Stevens.
The Alliance Champion is LT Falk. Yes. A lot has happened at New South.
Yes.
Over the last, three or four shows. Franklin, Kentucky.
Yes, Franklin, Kentucky, 512 West Madison Street.
The first and third Friday of every month.
Yes. So make sure you come on out, first and third Friday of every month.
You can check out WrestleTopia TV on YouTube, and you can also check out WrestleTopia on Facebook. Clips and matches are consistently uploaded. Pretty soon we'll have the full YouTube show will be formatted and
rock
ready to
and
go.
Rolling.
Yeah.
We've already been in talks with good old James Carver. He's already been rocking and rolling.
The beneficiary.
So we got that, and then we got more New South action coming our way on December 7th and 8th. We're going to have a big night of action out there. We got December 7th, we got another big event in Franklin, Kentucky. But then December 8th, you keep mistaking this for the 9th.
I know. For some reason, the 9th is stuck on my brain.
December 8th, we have the Nashville Comic-Con, or Comic and Toy-Con.
That's right.
It is the 25th anniversary of that event.
Yeah.
So we're going to be rocking and rolling over there. We got Kiera Hogan, the girl on fire. So if you're not going to be at WrestleCade, you have a chance to see her in Nashville at the Nashville Comic and Toy Con.
And who else is going to be there? You know, Crimson is going to be there. The original Midnight Express
with Jim Cornette. So make sure you come on out to the Nashville Comic and Toy Con. If you're a fan of professional wrestling, if you're a fan of toys, if you're a fan of vintage comics, come on out to that event December the 8th.
December the 8th.
It's happening all day at the Nashville Fairgrounds.
And then that evening.
Yes, that evening. We are hitting the road again. You have a shoot job that day too. But then after the Comic-Con, we are going to Bowling Green, Kentucky for the AWA New South Toys for Tots event. So for more information on that event, you go over to facebook.com/NSC Wrestling, or you can look up New South Championship Wrestling on Facebook if you're on your mobile device.
Yes. And there is a chance, we'll find out today, but there is a chance that Kiera Hogan may be making an appearance.
You mean the girl on fire is going to melt the ice?
She may be making an appearance that night as well in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Holy cow, it's going to be a big night. Make sure you come on out December 7th and 8th. And last but not least, December 15th. Saturday night, December 15th, we're going to get a little psycho, because Psycho Sid Vicious is coming to Christmas for Kids. It's the 7th annual charity event, and we're benefiting the Christmas for Kids, actually. The Christmas for Kids program based out of Hendersonville. They got a big bus program where they take them on a whole tour and everything. They've got concerts happening at the Grand Ole Opry.
Handing out free toys to the kids.
And kids 10 and under are free to that event. You can get tickets right now at ProWrestlingENT.com. You're going to see all kinds of great stars. You're going to see the crowning of the inaugural Pro Wrestling Entertainment Champion in a huge, huge tournament that's star-studded, to say the least.
Damian Wayne, Derek Neal, Christian James, Doug Gilbert.
Doug Gilbert's going to be in action. We got Teddy King.
Josephus versus LT Fox in a cage?
Wait, you mean the 16-foot-high, solid steel cage is coming back to the Portland, Tennessee.
With the mysterious Josephus Brody from the NWA.
Yeah, Josephus, you know, one can only imagine what he's got up his sleeve.
Sadistic, crazy, wild, madman.
But he's intuitive.
Oh, that's true. Book smart.
Yes. Very intuitive.
Wild man. That's very book smart.
He's got a spiritual advisor now. He's not exactly as wild.
Hollywood, right?
No, Hollywood's not the spiritual advisor. Oh. But she is a part of the kingdom of Josephus.
Oh.
The kingdom comes. Thy kingdom come.
And then usually where LT is, his dad, boy toy Tony Falk, usually makes an appearance every year.
Tony Falk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Tony Falk.
A true Memphis legend.
That's right. And I heard, Justin, listen.
Yes, yeah, okay, yes.
I heard Santa Claus is going to be there.
No way. I have been waiting my entire life to meet Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is coming.
My whole life. Last year, I thought it was Santa, but it was Tony Falk.
Tony Falk.
He faked me out. I want to meet Santa Claus so bad.
You know, the real Santa Claus is coming December the 15th. Make sure you get your tickets to go see Psycho Sid Vicious and Santa Claus.
And then I'm off.
You're off.
The next week.
But then we got AW New South doing a big doubleheader weekend. Winter
Friday
Wars.
Night. Yeah.
And they got a big night in
Friday night,
Franklin, Kentucky, and then Saturday night in Harding, Kentucky. But both of those events, you will get to see WWE legend, Memphis wrestling legend, Dirty Dutch Mantel, formerly known as Zeb Coulter, for those of you who are fans of the WWE. You're going to see Dirty Dutch Mantel. One can only imagine what he's going to get into. I mean, it's Dutch Mantel.
We the people.
We the people. So you the people need to come on out to all these
and
great events.
I will be there Friday night.
Yes.
In Franklin. I won't be there Saturday.
You got to have one night.
I will spend the day with my wife and my kids and just relax.
Because then right after that, we got to celebrate Eric Andrews' New Year's Bash.
New Year's Bash? Not birthday bash.
Not a birthday bash. You and James Carver. James Carver's the one running the event, and he messes it up too.
Not a birthday bash. It is the Year of the Dragon.
It is the Year of the Dragon. Eric Andrews' New Year's Bash, headlined by WWE NXT Impact star, the Cowboy James Storm.
Well, you're stretching on that sell job right there.
Hey man, you know we got to put it over, man. Promote.
Hey, you know James is the last couple of shows I've done with James. He's in fucking phenomenal shape. I mean, looks like $1 million, and I think his work rate, his workload. I mean, it's like young James Storm.
Yeah. He's a, James Storm, man, he's going better than he ever has, in my honest opinion. Right now, he's in his prime, if you really think about it. He says himself that this is his prime.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, the whole rest of the year is just jam-packed. And then January, we're jam-packed again. I've got a show coming up in January with Ox Harley in Rockwood, Tennessee, in MSWA. We've got the Impact tapings that we'll be working at, me, you, and Braxton doesn't want to be a part of this shit, you know?
Braxton says he might not be back in
Might not be back in town. Then we have the first and third Fridays in New South, you know what I mean? So January is already pretty much full as it is.
And the whole 2019, I mean, we've got conventions coming out the ass.
We got WrestleMania week. WrestleTopia will be at WrestleCon, and we'll be at, what's the other one, Kevin?
Markout at the Meadowlands.
We have Heroes and Legends coming in the spring. We have Richmond, Virginia coming in May. So it's just, things are just, I mean, it's never, I might get divorced in 2019. I don't know. I mean, there's a possibility.
I don't think your wife's going to be happy with it, as much as you're going to be gone. I mean, you know, we already knew that this thing was going to spiral out of control.
Right.
But
right.
Didn't think it was going to spiral this far out of control.
Right. So quickly, so fast.
I mean, look, because remember, you started WrestleTopia TV not too long ago, you know, kind of just doing every show now and again, just whatever you happen to have the gimmick table on. And then now it's become a thing.
Yeah.
Like, people book us.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong with these people?
I don't know what's wrong with them. I don't know if someone's just feeding them bad information. Oh, that's probably me.
What do you mean feeding them bad information?
Well, I always learn that you just agree to whatever and then you learn how to do it after you get paid.
So wait a minute. You mean to tell me that I could have had a weekend off with my mama?
Oh, yeah. You could have spent time with the mom. Yeah, definitely with the family. But no, I'm not gonna allow that to happen.
Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. WrestleTopia TV, full force. We're, like I said, we're going to WrestleKid right now. We got the gimmick table coming. I'm not sure if these people are prepared.
No, they are definitely not prepared for this. We're going to be staying with Doug Markham, who is a past guest of this podcast. We'll be saying hi to Jason James. Who knows who's all... I mean, everyone's there, right? I mean, Tony LoCascio's there. Crazy Steve's there. Everybody is at WrestleKid, aren't they?
All of our...
How excited I am for this Crazy Steve Vampiro basketball.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so,
you did ask if I was excited for a specific, you know, match. That one definitely is going to have me on the edge of my seat.
Just make sure, WrestleKid, if you're listening to this, if we happen to upload this before the show, please play his music.
Will somebody just play my fucking music?
Just play
I've
his music.
That way more times than
yeah.
Like to
what?
Yeah.
Like, so just make sure.
As long as Johnny Bandana's not on the sound.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny
Bandana's not with us right now.
I think we'll be okay.
Our lovely friend Johnny Bandana is unfortunately at the house.
Yeah.
We haven't heard from him in months.
You know what's funny is Johnny at the two Overdrive shows got a match.
Yeah.
Showed up, got to work. Chris Michaels.
One of the nicest drop kicks I've seen in my time.
The match was great. Yeah. I mean, you can find that on WrestleTopia TV, or you can go to High Spots Network, WrestleTopia TV on Pivot Share, CZW Network, a whole host of places on Pivot Share, and watch the match itself. But I also, if you want to just check it out on YouTube, the handheld, the fan cam, WrestleTopia TV fan cam, caught that match. And it's a really great match. But then at the last Overdrive show, I'm walking around, and Hammerjack comes up to me and says, like, hey, man, what are you doing tonight? And I was like, you know, we're filming everything. I'm doing commentary. Me and Kevin are up there. He's like, well, you think you can come down and, what do you say, take a powerbomb by Tyrus?
Yeah, well, originally it was, either get clotheslined or do a powerbomb from Tyrus.
And I was like,
did you have the option of picking one of the two?
No. They just said, hey, we're going to have Tyrus.
Oh, no, I came to you. I remember. I remember because I'd ask if, are you cool with taking a bump tonight?
And I was like, sure. You know, I mean, that's not that. And then I'm thinking, like, fucking Tyrus. Like, oh, this is gonna really suck.
He's 6'4",
he's a big dude. Yeah. He's a big boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, this is really gonna suck. You know. And so I landed up being part of Robert Strauss Brand's personal security for the evening.
Yes.
To just ensure the safety of my client. Robert Strauss.
The man bun security.
The man bun security. My bun was looking beautiful and full and luscious. You know, my hair is shiny and sparkly and everything you want a 30-plus-year-old's hair to be. I'm not missing any. And so, but then it turned out it worked out better because they changed everything and I landed up taking a chair shot. A couple of chair shots from Jeff Jarrett. No, to the back.
Okay, to the back.
And it was one of those things, you know, like I didn't want it to look bad. You know, I mean, I don't want it to look bad in general, but I definitely wanted to, you know, do my best.
You wanted to get Jarrett to get you that spot on TV, didn't you?
And so Jarrett hits me in the stomach with the chair at first. And it was two of us, two security guards.
Yeah.
So he hits me and then he hits the other security guard. And dude, it felt like 45 minutes. You know, like, I felt so bad. I felt like I really, like, I took the chair shot. I fell to the ground on my knee. I came up. I spun around. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm just, like, sitting here looking like an idiot.
I'm just spinning around.
I'm just giving him my back, you know, for 45 minutes.
So what was he doing?
It wasn't that long. Like, it was literally seconds. But in, but to me, it felt like forever, you know? It felt like I'm just sitting there waiting.
Right.
And everyone's watching me wait. You know? And so, and but Jared gives me the chair, and everything felt fine. I go back, you know, shake Jared's hand, and everything. He's like, hey, man. He's like, you doing okay? And I'm thinking, like, why is he asking me that? Like, yeah, everything's fine, man. He's like, oh, it felt like I caught you in the shoulder blade. And I guess because my adrenaline was so pumped, I was like, no, everything's fine, you know? Well, the next day, I go to sit down in the car, and when I sit back, my whole back. And so I go inside, and I ask my wife, I'm like, hey, is there a bruise on my shoulder? And I lift up my shirt. She goes, oh, my God. She's like, your whole shoulder is black.
So hold on, wait, well, hold on, Braxton. So he did get the shoulder blade.
So, yeah, he did get the shoulder blade. He did get the shoulder blade.
How long has it been since you've taken a chair shot?
Oh, my God, dude. Since, I mean, it's been since...
this is going to reveal his age, guys.
2012?
Okay.
Probably 2012? Okay, since I took a chair shot? Yeah.
But yeah, he didn't get it from a Hall of Famer like Jeff Jarrett.
That's right. I was a Hall of Fame chair shot, brother. So,
and did you get to keep the chair?
he tried it. Someone should have told him this. He would sign it.
Oh, man. Where is
We should probably look up the exit.
Yeah, I think we're going to... We've been on for about an hour, so let's go ahead and... I think we'll end the podcast for now, and we'll pick back up. Maybe when we're in the hotel with Doug.
Yeah.
And we'll sit down, and me and Doug can do our extracurriculars, our greeneries.
Oh, no.
And then we can have a really good podcast after that.
Oh, boy.
So make sure you support everything WrestleTopia, whether it's Pivot Share, whether it's YouTube, you know, buy gimmicks from me, you know, whatever it is. Just support WrestleTopia, because WrestleTopia is pro wrestling, and pro wrestling is WrestleTopia.
And pro wrestling is you.
That's right. So everyone say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
All right, you gotta unlock your phone now. Look what you're doing. You're ruining my MC.